It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
Handoff goes to Cook. Through a hole to the five. Into the end zone for the touchdown. Looking to load up. Fires deep. Rainbow down the field. And it's intercepted. Taron Johnson. Welcome back. Takes the snap. Back to pass. Looking to his right. Pocket collapsing and he's down. DeJuan Smoot and Greg Rousseau wrapped him up for the sack. Pocket collapsing. Allen squirts away from it. Throws to the end zone. And it's caught. For a touchdown, Dawson Knox. Blitz coming, fires over the middle for Amari Super Cooper.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
It is Football Friday, Bills and Seahawks on the way. Late game this weekend. Football Friday brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. We'll chat with Chris Brown coming up bottom of the hour. And take your calls on a Football Friday, 803-0550. Also get to who needs to just get results as part of the segment. And I've got a good trivia question for you.
Nice.
Off of last night's game.
Yeah,
it's off last night's game. Matthew Stafford passed an all-time great and is now on a shorter list in one department. So we'll get to that. 803-0550. Asking a couple questions this morning, chatting about it with you, about reviewing penalties because of the face mask that was missed in last night's Rams-Vikings game. The Rams get the win. They get a safety late. It was a scoring play. You know, you review scoring plays, right? But you can't review penalties.
Yeah.
Darnold hauled down by his face mask. So obviously the defensive player that did it did not celebrate sacking a player for a safety.
Yeah, he thought he was getting called.
Yes, he ran away and was upset. So, you know, it's just, it's a tough one for the Vikings to swallow.
The dumbest thing that maybe dumber than all of this, the review conversations, Belichick wanting it back then, all of it. The pool reports that they do with officials after the game are the most pointless exercises in the history of sports. The pool report. Why also, so all it is of course, hey, did you see the play? No, we didn't see it.
That's
three different ways of asking that same question. And then every time they do a pool report with a referee, it ends the same way with, is this play reviewable? No, this play is not reviewable. That's it. Every time we're asking if penalties are reviewable. This is very easy to just look up. We don't need to ask the head official, is it reviewable? No.
I totally agree.
So dumb.
It's why one of my hot takes is that the idea that officials should be available for press conferences is dumb. Why didn't you call that penalty? I didn't see it. Why did you call that penalty? I thought it was a penalty.
Yeah, because what do you want?
What else is there?
Actually, I hate the Vikings, actually.
Right, what is there to say? These referees aren't... Well, I shouldn't say that. Sometimes they are caught up in the moments of games where we've heard an NHL scandal where a referee said, like, well, I owe you guys a call. You know, he was kind of keeping the ledger on how many calls went one way or the other.
Right.
So that's happened.
Those are very specific instances.
Right.
Though.
Those are hot mics catching a guy being honest at a press conference. Referee Trey Blake on this one. We did not see it, so we couldn't call it. End of story. All right. What else do you want? What you want is someone to see it and go back and say that safety has to come off the board. The personal foul penalty was too obvious. I guess you could. This is an easy one. You know, earlier this morning, you and I kind of sparred a bit about the eye in the sky making all the calls. This one on a face mask is not any different than targeting. Hold on. The game's getting paused. We're getting a look at something. They want to see if there was a targeting call here. Face mask. Not illegal hands to the face, but a face mask. In a spot like this, that seems like an easy correction. The question is, once you start doing that stuff, how far down the road do you want to go? You know, the NHL reviews offside. They also review puck over the glass. Yeah. Why is that one that's reviewed? Because it's easy. Yeah. It's, did it go over? Was it deflected? No. There's no judgment call. It's just a penalty. So if the NFL were to take steps to eye in the sky, calls like this one, I don't think it would be that problematic. I don't think having every play reviewed and bring these games to a grinding halt and removing joy from games is a good idea. I don't need a Red Zone channel, and then also the Stripes channel, where Gene Steratore just hosts all of the reviews that are happening in the 1 o'clock windows because everything is constantly under review.
Is Red Zone maybe why I don't care about reviews as much as you do, because I just never see them?
Yeah, you probably...
Because when I'm on... You don't see them when you're on Red Zone.
If you're watching Red Zone, the game, the sport is unbelievably exciting and never slows down.
Right, there's no break.
And if you're watching just one individual game, it's, holy cow, another review, another conversation, another moment where they're going to discuss this.
Yeah. Or I have the next-gen stats cast on, and there's probably something else distracting me on the broadcast. It's really cool.
What did we say about the Bills-Jets game?
Oh, my gosh.
It was horrible. Now, what if the
being in attendance for that game, too, was the most painful thing ever. It was so bad.
What if the eye in the sky shows up and starts calling all those penalties? Hey, buddy, why don't you dial it back a couple of notches? We don't necessarily want that. So it's, to me, this is a tale as old as time. It's always where we're going to land. There are going to be missed calls. You just hope it doesn't come for you. I wish I had a better approach to it, but I really don't. I don't think there's a net gain by over-officiating and over-reviewing. I think it actually takes away from the sport. I'd rather, I'm not used to be here, but I'd rather be at the, you know, get fewer reviews and fewer challenges in my life, because that's what I want. I want these games to move.
I do want the teams that are supposed to win, though. That's where I'm at. That's why I don't mind review as much. I want the teams that are supposed to win when they're the most often possible. Without doing, you know, 15-minute reviews. I like where they're at now. I'm good, actually. I don't need them to expand it. I don't need them to dial it back either. I think the way they're doing it now is I'm getting more reviews than ever, but I'm getting them. The amount of time spent with reviews right now, I bet, is way lower than it was 10 years ago. Because I don't have a older official jogging over to a little tent where he's got a little, you know, 12-inch screen, and now he's going to go under the hood, and he's going to spend 3 minutes in there, and he's going to try to determine it, and then he's going to run back to the center of the field and do it. One review 10 years ago is the same amount of time that 10 reviews are now. So I'm good where they are. I don't need them to expand it to penalties. You're going to do these little changes within 10 seconds, spot the ball differently, or, hey, actually, this was a touchdown 7 seconds after the ref signaled it. Like, that's where they are now, and I think they're in a good place for me.
You know, I don't necessarily disagree, but I wonder if anyone would ever take the time to, and I would imagine nobody would, because this is a waste of time and probably a stupid point, but I'll make it anyway. The minutes per 60 spent on reviews. Like, you say it's down.
I bet it's down.
But you know what's up? Discussions. They do talk a lot more. Hold on. This isn't technically a review, but now we have a 45-second conversation at the 37-yard line with all these officials discussing what they saw. And that doesn't count as a review, but that is still a stoppage, and that is still, let's go, come on, let's play.
I think that happened more in that Jet game, though, than like the last Bill season combined.
It might have. It was a rough one.
Every time. That was the more frustrating part, was I wasn't getting, hey, like, real quick, after discussion, we're doing this. It was they were standing around arguing. It looked like they were arguing with each other, right? It looked like the umpires were, like, debating, like, no, I saw this. Well, I saw this. And they were, like, going back and forth. That game is just a mess, though. What a horrible officiated game that was.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Walk in the line always about how much you want to stop and go back and look at everything that happens. Mark in Coconut Creek is up on a Football Friday. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, happy Friday. You know, you're talking about the reviews and penalties. You know, sometimes it's sort of inconsistent, because they can call a penalty and then next thing you know, the referees are picking up the flag and they're saying, oh, there's no penalty on the play. And then for the same thing, there could be like an obvious intentional grounding that's not called. And then, you know, like 30 seconds later, they throw the flag. So I don't understand why on a play like that, the referees can't get together and say, yeah, that was a face mask. But anyway, I guess that's just what we're dealing with.
Yeah, there was a play last night, Mark, in terms of like picking up a flag. There was a roughing the passer call. Minnesota was called for roughing the passer on Matthew Stafford, and then after conversation, they picked it up, and they said it was because the player was pushed into Stafford. Mm-hmm. Then they showed the replay, and what did I think? I don't know about that.
Not really.
So there's one where if they reviewed that, it would have been a minute and a half of, I see it this way. I don't know. I see it this way. Roughing the passer can sometimes be, well, very strict. That's the biggest. Isn't our biggest complaint about roughing the passer that, come on, he tackled him. What's he supposed to do?
Yeah.
Epinesa got that ridiculous roughing the passer
call. That might be the worst call of the Bills season.
It
honestly.
Might be. If that happens.
Roger said it wasn't.
Now, if that's reviewable, what happens? That's a personal foul. Let's make personal fouls reviewable. Is someone taking that off the board?
Well, because now, in that instance, that's why I don't need that reviewed, because to me, all I'm doing is transferring one referee's opinion to another referee's opinion, just who's sitting in a different seat.
Right.
And it's still opinion-based.
That's right, which is what the calls to New York have been. That's how this all started. Let's get Dean Blandino on the line to explain this to us, right? To me, man, like, the Bills having an officiating expert, this is something the Bills have, John Perry, who works for them. And it's just, I think this slow drip, or however you want to say it, towards fully accepting that so much of the game is about officiating. Rules analysts bring this more. It's more about officials than ever before. Oh, we didn't get the calls right. Okay, so we're just basically going to turn over a third of the broadcast to a guy telling us whether or not the call on the field is right and trying to explain the rules. And it's not even like the ruling is tied into what that guy says. It's just his opinion. What is John Perry, all due respect, what is John Perry doing for the Bills? Is he doing what Gene Steratore does for CBS? Like, guys, I think they would call it this way. And then they go down, they don't make that call. Like, sorry.
Is he better at it, though, than the guy that was in the job before? Because they would have had somebody, right?
Maybe.
Every team's always had that.
To me, it's this normalization of relentless over-officiating. And why do we get games where the game is ground to a halt and people complain, oh, the officials thought this game was about them? It is about them. The broadcast is about them. The pool report is about them. All these rules changes on challenging penalties. Like, every conversation ends up about them. And I feel like there's probably a better way. And I know it's like not sexy, but ignoring it. Get rules analysts out of the booth.
Mm-hmm.
Move on with our lives. You might come away less.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's upset. I don't know. That's my take on it. Gino in Amherst. Hey, Gino.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, morning.
I think there's no way that the NFL is going to give up letting us challenge penalties, because that's the way they control the game. You know, in the playoffs, when there's those long passes for pass interference, it's questionable, they call them to keep the game close. And there's no way that they're going to let us challenge penalties.
Well, I mean, you have to believe that they call penalties to keep games close in that case.
I do. I totally do. I think that's how they keep these playoff games always within 7 to 10 points.
I'm not. I don't know.
You're not sold.
No,
I'm not sold on that. I think the league, they play in a league with a lot of parity. That's correct. In comparison to others, like in comparison to like college football, for instance. I think that's usually more of it.
Yeah, I don't believe.
I might levy that against hockey, though.
I don't believe. Well,
no, not that they would do it on purpose to keep games close, but we have proof that they like to keep the number of penalties close.
Yes.
And I feel like the NFL doesn't make the same effort. Like, I don't know. This is kind of a guess, but I feel like in the NHL, the referees know how many penalties are on each side. That they know, hey, it's 5-1 in penalties. I got to get them a call. There is evidence of that. football, if penalties are 10 to 2, I don't know. I feel like that's not in their heads. Maybe I'm wrong on that for trying to differentiate the two, but I don't think of football the same way. That, like, oh, we've got to even it up. We've got to call a penalty in the Bills here because the Seahawks have had 8 already go in their favor. I don't know. I think the sports might be different.
Yeah. Those two. I guess I shouldn't say I don't believe that could ever happen. I don't believe that could ever happen. That a call would be made to keep a game close. I don't believe it.
I don't either.
Not at all. Could a call be made to keep the number of penalties close?
Well, that's
a little different for me.
I still don't think they do that in football.
That can happen unconsciously or subconsciously where, well, I've called 3 straight penalties on this team. I'm going to find one on the other team. And listen, when a coach goes up to an official like watch number 62, he's holding every play, even if you as a human, you are now primed to evaluate whether or not that guy is holding, whereas the sky judge or the AI version would not be necessarily primed in that same way.
I will say it's interesting. The Bills are playing the Seahawks this week, and one story or just comments I remember Richard Sherman making years back when talking about the defense they employ in Seattle, he made a comment once about how we play very physically, and we are, maybe this was more an analysis than what Sherman said literally, but I've heard this about that Seattle Legion of Boom team, that basically they were coached in the secondary and defensively, hold every play. Illegal contact every play.
Because you dare them.
The refs are going to call you once or twice on it. They are not going to call you on it the whole game.
And why are they not going to call you on it the whole game?
Because they don't want a penalty every play.
Because if they called a penalty every play, what would happen?
The game would be 7 hours.
And people would be mad at who?
The officials.
Right.
Yeah. Right, they wouldn't get mad at the Seahawks.
No, they'd get mad at the officials.
They'd get mad at the officials.
How could you call it on every play? You ruined the game.
Yeah. That's, even if they would be accurate by calling a penalty every play, because that's what the Seahawks were doing.
People don't want penalties called every play. They want officials to get off the field.
Yeah.
If the Bills Seahawks game goes and there's not a single penalty played, the officials will be commended. Like, wow, they really let him play. You got to respect it. So it's an impossible job on some level, just because of the way that the officials are evaluated. Joe in North Tonawanda. Hey, Joe. Good morning.
Hey guys, how you doing? I'm just listening to your show. I would like to see the penalties kind of like the strike zone. If the strike zone's wide, keep it wide the whole game. In other words, the Epinesa piece. You know, hey, if you're going to call a candy play against him, you know, make sure that the other QBs are candy plays as well. As far as the face mask, I don't believe this, and I don't believe I'm saying this, but is there any betting involved on the safety and the referees? I don't want to even believe that because I've been a longtime NFL fan, but I just want to hear your opinion on that.
Well, the Rams were 3-point underdogs in this game, I believe. Right? The Rams were getting 3.
So they were covering no matter what.
That's right. And the over-under went to 50. That might have gone over with a safety, but no. Again, it's another one of those things where I don't think there's any chance that the official, the back judge or whatever,
he wants the over.
This thing, like, I need an over here. So what I'm going to do is disregard a safety face mask. You want the over? Just call a bunch of pass interferences and let him go down the field and score points.
I guess it also depends where you went, because some books had it at 48 and others had it at 47.5. And what was the score before the safety? 28-20.
Yeah.
So it would have been right on the number for some, and then it would have went over with the safety, I guess. But no. That's not why it happened.
Well, the review process and challenging penalties is more likely to be brought in with gambling than without. Like, that's one of the things that's happened here. Why do we have so many reviews? Why is it all about getting it right? Why is it about the offside challenge, VAR in soccer? The answer is that if they call it even ticky-tack while the viewer, hates it, someone that bet on that game, and there's been betting in soccer for, you know, a long time, long before we had mobile betting and all that here, you could go to these games and bet. Getting it right matters because there's a lot of money going back and forth in who wins, who scores.
Uh-huh.
So the increase in gambling, I believe, leads to a more meticulous evaluation of every single call and a higher likelihood that every call gets completely evaluated and broken down as far as possible.
Oh, it all funnels back to the money originally. Isn't the reason that we have reviews in the first place more because the owners don't want to lose games that way because they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars on players?
That's where the offside challenge came in. The offside challenge came in because Matt Duchene was offside by a foot and everybody saw it, and then the league had to ruin its entire sport for 10 years.
But wasn't that because an owner was mad about it because his team lost?
Or a GM.
While pouring assets and money into
it? GMs are terrified of losing a game on an offside call, so they just decided to ruin the sport. Anyway.
Offside call's worse than all the football ones.
It is the worst thing. Yes, it is.
It's worse than VAR?
Yep. The offside challenge is the worst thing in sports.
I can't wait till Liverpool or Arsenal scores a goal on Sunday, and then it's going to be off by a millimeter, and they're going to call it back.
Yeah, see, that can't happen because Arsenal can't finish a game with 11 men, so, you know, I'll worry about that first.
Yeah, red card.
Kevin and Alden. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how you guys doing? So I'm just kind of going back to, you know, what Baltimore said last year, that they were going to kind of force the refs' hands into calling every call, you know, getting away with their holding and their pass interference and offsides, and they were going to do that every play and kind of let the refs, you know, make them honest. It just kind of goes back to that. I think the refs are now, you know, the league has kind of looked at it as, okay, you're going to do that. Now we're going to call every call, and now you're going to get what you get. I mean, just kind of curious what you guys think on that.
I mean, I don't see it. Is there an uptick in penalties this year per last year? I mean, it's the coaches' jobs to find these loopholes, like the head coach in Oregon with the 12-man defense, knowing the rule, so the call went one way, and then they changed the rule. But I could try and pull up penalties by year.
Yeah, I was trying to find that. I've got it by team, and I'll just tell you this. The team that's number one in penalties every year, it's like almost always the same number. It's like between 115 and 130-ish. So I don't think it's that different.
Yeah, I don't think they're calling too much.
They call too much in the Bills-Jets game.
Yes. Or do those two teams cheat too much?
See, that was the thing about that game is if I had watched the replays and gone, okay, yeah, that's a blatant penalty. That's a blatant penalty. That's a penalty too. It felt like that was a game where they were calling things that were just not penalties. Like they were so ticky-tack. And that's the game management of an official, right? Is, okay, you watch a play and you watch a hold and it's like very mild. Like, there's not all holds are created equal, right? That's the thing. Like, there's holding on every play, but there are not egregious holds on every play. There is not, you are grabbing a guy's jersey and yanking it while he's turned in the other direction. Sometimes there is, you got a guy by the shoulder pads, and there's a slight twist, and then you let go. And in theory, and by definition, that might be a hold, but the hold you called the play before is 50 times worse, so which one are you going to call? Like, that's the other part of this, is the referee and how much he has to determine on a game-to-game, play-to-play basis. Okay, sure. By definition, maybe that was a penalty, but it really didn't affect anything, and it really was super, super mild. I'm going to let that go. You have to be able to do that. But that's the last night's face mask penalty. Face mask is a little different anyway, but it was so bad, it was so egregious, and it was so impactful that just missing that is ridiculous. Even if there might have been there might have been illegal contact on that play. But you don't notice it because it wasn't egregious. It's the egregious ones.
Quick number for you. I'm at teamrankings.com. So last year, the league leader for a team in penalties per game was the Jets. They were penalized 7.3 times per game. This year, there are about 10 teams with more than that number.
Oh, really?
Now, will that balance out by the time the year is over? Quite possibly. But right now, the league lead is 8.6.
All right.
And Seattle, Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit, Dallas, the Jets, Baltimore, Houston, Miami, and Cleveland are all above last year's leader in penalties per game. So something to watch.
Yeah.
That seems like 10 teams being the most penalized team of last year.
That would speak to there have been more penalties
called
this year.
For sure. Chris Brown joins us when we get back as we keep rolling through this Buffalo Bills Football Friday. You can join us and be a part of the show if you'd like to. Happy to hear from you. Football Friday brought to you by Salino. Car Crash, call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Zubs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.